Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, a complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Avraham, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Seb Ben Chava, Haram Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. First, the chaos, the mess, the confusion on the U.S.-Mexico border. How do you secure the border? The only way to secure the border. Donald Trump can never secure the border for a very simple reason that we're going to explain to you. Why it's impossible for him to secure the border, because he's playing according to the rules that the establishment has created, rules that make it impossible to secure the border. The second subject that we want to discuss is how Bibi Netanyahu is responding to the latest Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorist phenomenon from Gaza. They're sending kites with bombs, explosive kites, into Israel. And the ridiculous response of Bibi Netanyahu and the pathetic Israeli government. Let's start off, though, with the U.S.-Mexico border and the whole situation involving Donald Trump. Now, as you know, we supported Ted Cruz. We ran the Jews for Cruz campaign. And we warned you that Donald Trump would not succeed in doing the things he wants to do in building a wall, in securing the border, in reversing America's decline as a nation. He is not changing anything. And to think otherwise is to live in a world of fantasy and illusion. The number of illegal aliens entering the United States is up under Donald Trump. The number of illegals that are being legalized and made into citizens is up under Donald Trump. The budget deficit is up under Donald Trump. The debt, the national debt, is up under Donald Trump. And we can go on and on enlisting the many other areas where his policies are a colossal failure, a disaster, a joke. His policy toward North Korea is absolutely insane. He is appeasing a North Korean Hitler who has no intention of giving up his nuclear bombs and who is playing him for a fool. Which he is, of course. Trump is a fool, and he's playing him for a fool. But getting back to the issue of the border, why is it that we say that Donald Trump will never, never, never succeed in truly securing the border? Because the courts are not going to allow him to. He is following the rules of the courts. He's allowing the courts to dictate to him what to do. He and his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. We have 30 million illegal aliens in the United States. According to the courts, every one of them is entitled to a hearing, to hearings and court cases, and they could either be detained or released on their own recognizance. But they're entitled to court cases and hearings and legal representation. You can't have 30 million court cases clogging up the courts. The courts would be unable to handle even 1 million. Forget about 30 million. And yet Donald Trump is playing by the rules that the establishment has set. He is allowing the courts to dictate what goes on here. He's saying he abides by whatever the courts rule. Let me explain something that most of you are probably unaware of. Judges who are unelected do not have a right to dictate to the president and the Congress and the executive and legislative branches what to do. The courts only, according to the Constitution, have the right to interpret the law. They do not have the right to create laws from the bench. They are unelected. They have no authority. When judges who are unelected create laws, that's judicial tyranny. That means that your voting and your elections have no meaning because a judge will overturn whatever you do anyway. And that has happened in many cases in this country. Donald Trump accepts the fact that the courts have complete control over everything in the United States. And we saw the first example of this, if you recall, when you had the controversy about a Kentucky clerk named Kim Davis, who was an evangelical Christian and a courageous Kentucky clerk, who was refusing to certify homosexual marriages. And the courts ordered her to certify these homosexual marriages. And she refused. As a clerk in the state of Kentucky, she refused to do it. And she was removed, and they were threatening her with imprisonment, and so on and so forth. This went on and on. This was happening during the 2016 presidential campaign. Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, like other candidates, both reacted to this. But their reactions were the opposite. Opposite reactions. Donald Trump said, it's the rule of law. She has to do what the Supreme Court says and what the courts say. The courts decide and it's the rule of law. You have to do whatever the courts tell you to do. This is the rule of law. And of course, it's not the rule of law. That's judicial tyranny. When unelected judges tell an elected president or an elected Congress or elected state legislatures what their policies have to be, that's the rule of law? That's fascism. That's tyranny. That's not a free country. Now, but Donald Trump thinks it is. He said it's the rule of law that Kim Davis should not be doing what she's doing. She should follow whatever the courts tell her to do, and that it's now accepted law that there's gay marriages, and he will accept whatever the courts tell him to do. And then later on, he made it clear that he will have the same policy in regard to immigration. He will do whatever the courts tell him to do. Well, the courts are telling him that he's got to give trials and hearings and court cases and legal representation, that means free lawyers, to 30 million illegal aliens. Every one of them is entitled to different days in court. And you can either detain them. How are you going to detain 30 million people? You can either detain them or you can free them until their next court date, which of course in 99% of the cases they don't appear when you do that. So this farcical situation that the courts have created, which in effect mean that you can never deport illegal aliens, that illegal aliens can come here and the vast majority of them can stay here forever no matter what. This farcical situation, which you can never solve as long as you allow the courts to do this, is something Donald Trump accepts. And so as long as he accepts that, he will never win. He will never win. He will never succeed in dealing with the border issues and in getting these illegal aliens out. He will never succeed in doing that. And his clumsy, ridiculous approach where he's allowed the left to now say he's dividing families and he's taking children away from their parents and all the other BS propaganda from the left, which is working. The vast majority of Americans, 72% of Americans, the latest polls say that they're against this. They're against the dividing of families. And even Trump caved in because of this. Even he recognizes now that he's turned the vast majority of Americans against him on this issue. What a mess. Ted Cruz, a constitutional conservative, a brilliant lawyer who clerked for Supreme Court justices, he had the right solution. So did Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee was a political prostitute who wound up supporting Trump, and his daughter works for Trump now. You know, complete phony. But Huckabee did take the right position on this issue when it came to gay marriages, just as Ted Cruz did. And Ted Cruz took that right position not just on the gay marriage issue, but on the immigration issue. Ted Cruz said that the Supreme Court and other courts do not have a right to dictate to an elected president, an elected Congress, and elected state legislatures what to do. That we have to finally have leadership that is going to ignore the rulings of these courts. No, these judges do not have a right to tell a president what he can and cannot do. Do not have a right to dictate to federal agencies what they can and cannot do. Now, I know that goes against what we've believed in this country now for decades, because we've been brainwashed into believing, oh, the courts, that's like, they're like the gods. We have to worship these judges. They're like the gods. That is baloney. That was never the intention of the founding fathers. That is not in the Constitution. On the contrary, there are three branches of government: executive, legislative, and judicial. And the judicial branch is actually the weakest of the branches, because the legislative branch, which is the Congress, they pass the laws. The president signs laws, proposes laws. He has also certain executive powers that are assigned to him. But the courts are there only to interpret the laws. They are not there to change or modify any laws. They are only there to interpret laws. They're not there to make laws, because they're not elected. They are the weakest of the three branches. And yet, the establishment convinced Americans to allow the judiciary to become the strongest branch, to become the ultimate branch with divine power to do anything they want and dictate policy. If 9 Supreme Court justices decide that it is in the Constitution that, you have to allow gay marriage, all of a sudden now gay marriage is now the settled law of the land. I mean, what is this? This is absolutely absurd. They said that it's in the Constitution, that it's unconstitutional to deny people gay marriage. It's unconstitutional? For more than 200 years, any homosexual act, even between two consenting adults, was illegal in all 50 states, even in left-wing states like Massachusetts, New York, California. In the 1960s, this was against the law. So none of them knew the Constitution, and Supreme Court and the courts all upheld all of this all these years. All of a sudden, you have a Supreme Court that overturns all of that and finds this new so-called constitutional right. This is such baloney. And we have the same situation on the border. Illegal aliens do not have a right to a court date and to see judges and see courts. They have no right to, they have no rights. They're not citizens. They're coming into the country illegally. Actually, American troops have a right to regard them as a hostile force trying to invade the country and invade and have a right to shoot to kill. Under international law, they have a right to protect the border. So this claim that you have to give them a court date and lawyers and legal representation and you have to work with them and their families, and then they deliberately bring their children here because they know that they can use their children as a weapon, as a propaganda weapon, that most Americans stupidly are falling for. Because you also have on the other side, you have Donald Trump stupidly presenting an argument that he can't win. It's just a mess. He can't win this way. He can't, because the courts are telling him we won't allow it. We needed a president. We don't have one, but we needed a president like Ted Cruz who was going to say, I don't care what the courts say. I'm not going to listen to the courts. I'm the president. You don't tell me what to do. I'm elected by the people. You're not. I refuse to do what you tell me to do. What are they going to do to him? They can't intrude on the executive branch under the Constitution. There's nothing they can do. Now, you could say, well, the media would go crazy and everybody. They could go crazy all they want. He would say, I'm the president. I'm elected. You're not elected. Who are you to start dictating policy to me? You were just appointed. You weren't elected by anybody. You're not going to tell us what we can and cannot do. If people come here illegally, we're not going to divide up the families. We're going to throw them all out together. All of them are out. Out. Together. That's what Ted Cruz proposed doing. And he would have done it. And as a constitutional lawyer, he would have presented it to the American people in a coherent, intelligent way, not like Trump, who changes his position 5 times a day. And who's completely incoherent and complete. I'm just a blathering idiot. So now we have a situation where there's no border control, where they're continuing to cross the border. And we're just small numbers, very small percentage of them are actually sent back. Which you had under Obama too. Obama was also sending back. And Bush and all the presidents did. Trump is not stepping up border enforcement. The only thing Trump is doing is he's detaining them and giving them court dates, which is clogging up the courts and not solving anything. And now he even retreated. He caved in. He was separating the children from the parents. Now he caved in on that and signed an executive order which basically vacates and changes his whole policy. What a mess. Let me tell you what's going to happen here if this continues like this, unless the American people miraculously wake up or some miracle occurs. Here's what's going to happen. The majority of the American people are against enforcing the border and securing the border now. Trump has turned most Americans against border enforcement now. This was not true before Trump became president. Before Trump became president, there was a fence on the border. It wasn't a wall, but it was a fence. And there were border security measures, which even Democrats voted for. Now, of course, you need a border wall. And you need much tougher border security. But the fact that the Democrats were voting for border security measures reflected the fact that the vast majority of Americans said, we have to have a border, otherwise you don't have a country. That was the view before Trump became president. Now, most Americans are against deporting illegal aliens. For the first time, we have a substantial majority of Americans, they don't want to deport the illegal aliens. They're basically saying, let's let them stay here. Let's give them all their so-called rights and let them stay here. That's the end of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. That's it, because the whole third world will come flooding in here then. And nobody's going to have the stomach to stand up against this now. Because Trump is going to get so battered over this issue, and he himself is going to cave in. They're going to say, even Donald Trump had to give in the end. Even Donald Trump had to sign executive orders reversing his policies. Even Donald Trump had to admit that this can't work. And so you're going to create a situation where no one will dare do anything to protect the border and protect America's sovereignty and protect America's, also protect America demographically. Nobody is going to dare do anything in that, in any of those areas anymore. That's the disastrous nightmare situation you have, because Trump is discrediting conservatism, discrediting Republicans, because what happens is when you have a majority, when you turn the majority of the American people against securing the border now, because it's inhumane and they're comparing it to the Nazis and you're separating children, this is just like the Nazis and all the other propaganda of the left, which is succeeding. When you have a situation like that, that's disastrous. People cannot, the people that are, the law enforcement that are on the border to enforce the laws are not going to be able to enforce the laws now. They're not going to have the backing of the American people, which they need in order to enforce the law in this country. And the courts are going to continue to say, no, no, you can't. So in the end, they're going to work out compromises. What are the compromises? Amnesty. They're going to work out amnesty compromises. Trump always supported amnesty until 2015. He was an advocate. He supported the Gang of Eight amnesty bill in 2013 that Chuck Schumer and Marco Rubio authored. He himself said that he supports amnesty, and that's a quote. And we showed you his tweet in 2013 supporting amnesty, saying that he supported amnesty. We showed you this. We did videos warning you about this. Ted Cruz never supported amnesty. Ted Cruz never supported the Gang of Eight legislation or other amnesty bills. Never. And so here we are. Here we are in a very, very bad situation. And the Trumpsters don't even realize. They're so excited. They say, oh, he's making America great again. It's so wonderful. They don't even realize what's going on here. Have you seen the latest stories in the media about how America's white majority is going to become a minority now much faster than people had predicted before? How it's coming very fast? I mean, when America becomes majority non-white, what type of president is going to be elected when that happens? What type of government you're going to have? What type of country you're going to have? That will not be the America that we had for over 200 years in the United States. It's going to be a completely different country, completely different society. You see in California the effects. California was a conservative Republican state. Even though many people registered Democrats, you had conservative Democrats who voted for Ronald Reagan. Reagan was overwhelmingly elected governor twice. He overwhelmingly won the state when he was president in two presidential elections. California was a conservative state until the 1980s. Then the demographics changed the state. Now the state has flipped completely into the most extreme left-wing state, a completely crazy place now. 62% of Californians, according to the census, are non-white. In other words, either Hispanic or Black or Asian or any of these other non-white groups. 62%, according to the census. That's the census figures, which undercount the non-white groups. Those groups are undercounted because of language and because of security problem. People don't want to go into the slums, and the census workers are afraid to go into some of these housing projects and dangerous places to count people. So there's always an undercount of the non-white population. And even the census says it's 62% non-white. and by the way, I don't know if you've seen the articles lately in the media. I'll leave it to you to look this up if you're serious. If you really are serious and you're not just a BS artist, you people who love Trump, you could look it up yourself. Did you know that the non-Hispanic white population in the United States is declining every year now? Declining. There are more deaths than births among non-Hispanic whites. More deaths than births. More whites are dying than being born. In other words, we have now among white Americans what you have in Europe, a population decline. But that's not true among blacks or Asians or Hispanics or Arabs or Muslims. Those groups are all exploding. Their population is growing like crazy. Welcome to the new America. And Donald Trump has not even put a dent in those trends. That is the issue that a new president who wants to make America great again had to confront, and had to confront it immediately upon taking office. And Donald Trump has not confronted it, has not succeeded at all. Not at all. So you know what you're going to get? You're going to get all the rhetoric and none of the results. You're going to get retreats, and you're going to get people giving in, as Trump gave in. You saw Trump cave in and sign that executive order reversing his policy now. You're going to see retreat after retreat. And in the end, a continuation of the decline of America and the demographic changes that will lead to America becoming a third world majority country. That's what's coming. That's what's coming. You voted for it. We warned you that this was going to happen. You're going to get the punishment that you deserve because you voted for it. You voted for it, and that's what you're going to get. That's what you wanted. You didn't want someone like Ted Cruz who was going to deal with the issue effectively. Okay. Now, if you honestly think this isn't going to happen, what I said, if you think that Trump is going to preserve America's white majority, if you think Trump is going to secure the border, if you think we're going to have a border wall, if you think all these things are coming, okay, we'll see if I'm right or if you're right. We'll see. We'll see. So far, we haven't gotten any of those things that Trump promised we were going to get. Okay, we've gotten none of them. Trump has been in office now for about a year and a half. He has a four-year term. He's been in office a year and a half already. Okay, so he's been in office for quite a while. By this point in the presidency of Ronald Reagan, for instance, Reagan had gotten a lot of the things that he promised to do were already accomplished. Trump has gotten nothing, not one penny for the border wall. He hasn't put a dent at all in the illegal immigration, the legalization of the illegals, and so on and so forth. What he's done is he's taken small little groups and made a big issue of it that blows up in the media, and they fight over this, while behind the scenes, millions continue to come in and the demographic changes continue to take place. And white birth rates are declining, and the birth rates of all the other groups are going up. And the future is a very grim future for the future of America. And you think Donald Trump is making America great again because the stock market went up? Or because unemployment figures that Trump himself said are rigged show that unemployment is a low unemployment rate now? You think that means he's made America great again? Are you kidding? Anyway, whatever. We need a president that truly believes in the true rule of law. The true rule of law is that the courts don't decide. The president and the Congress decide. The people decide, and the courts and the president. The president and the Congress and the people decide. That's a free country. Judges who dictate to the president, the Congress, and the people, that's not a free country. That's a dictatorship. That's a judicial dictatorship. And Trump accepts judicial dictatorships. That's what he accepts. That's his policy. That's his policy. He will never go against the rulings of the courts. That's his policy. He will not refuse to abide by rulings of the courts. He will do whatever the courts tell him to do. And that's something Ted Cruz was not going to do. And they would not have been able to compel him as president. What could they do to him? They can't arrest him. He's the president. What could they do to him? He was going to refuse to abide by their rulings and take strong actions. And order his agencies to take actions that comply with what the Congress and the executive branch tell them to do. And what a difference it would have made for the future of the country. Americans would have gotten a real educational lesson in what true civics in a true free society is all about, and in a constitutional republic, which is what the United States is supposed to be, but Unfortunately, right now isn't. In Israel, we have also a leadership of the phony right, all bluffs, all lies, and that's Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud and Naftali Bennett and the Jewish Home Party. One of the things the Hamas Muslim Nazi terrorists are doing now, they're flying kites from Gaza into pre-1967 Israel, into Israeli towns, Jewish towns and villages. They're flying kites with bombs on them into these towns and villages. So instead of bombing the hell out of these people, which is what Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party would do, the Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party would liberate Gaza and remove the Arab Nazi enemy and encourage the other Arabs who are not officially part of the terrorist organizations, encourage them to leave with compensation. But instead, the Israeli people have this Trumpian-type leadership as well from Netanyahu, where he's allowing this to happen. And what is his solution? What's Netanyahu's solution? He's coming up with technological ways to shoot down the kites before they get into Israel. He's going to shoot them. And they have missiles that intercept other missiles. You can't get all the missiles and all the kites with bombs and all. This is insane. Soon they're going to come up with it. They're going to try, the Jewish scientists in Israel are going to try to come up with a way that if, when the Arab terrorists come with machine guns, that you'll get bullets that will intercept their bullets, because you don't want to hurt the Arab terrorists. You're not allowed to hurt them. It's a very, very sick situation. And so people don't live securely in Israel. And a country that could be the economic powerhouse of the world and the moral and social powerhouse of the world, which is what the Jews are supposed to be, a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests, the Bible says. Instead, look at what they're doing. They're in full retreat. They have leaders that are just bluffing them the whole way. And people like Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut Party, whom we support, whom JTF supports, they unfortunately are on the fringes because the media doesn't give them the coverage and they don't have the huge budgets. I mean, I would have loved to have been in Israel and I would have loved to have been part of all of this debate, but I'm not allowed to go to Israel. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel. 80,000 armed Arab terrorists from Fatah and the PLO were welcomed into Israel under the Oslo agreements. And Netanyahu has continued the Oslo agreements, has refused to end the Oslo agreements. They're welcomed in Israel, but I'm banned from even setting foot in Israel. That's the insanity you have in the state of Israel today. I'll tell you what we're trying to do. We in JTF are trying to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We're trying to reach them as much as possible. You know, just today, in the past 24 hours, I just put up, I think 500 videos. These are old videos. These are videos that we already had, but we put them on different sites and different channels all over the place. We put up about 500 more videos. And each video gets just a few views, but, you know, gets a certain number of views. I don't know how many views each video is going to get. You know, some videos get hundreds of views, some videos get 3 or 4 views. But if you put up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds all the time every day, if you do that, you know, we're trying that system now. We're going to see what type of results it gets us. Because we want to reach people with our message. Our message is so vital. And the people of Israel have to hear this message. And of course, we want to advertise our message as well. The people of Israel must hear this message because it's the only message of truth that can save them. We've got to get the millions of hostile Muslim terrorist supporters out of Israel. And we've got to create a situation where the Jews are secure in their own homeland, in the Jewish state. And we have to make Jews recognize that the state of Israel is a Jewish state. It's a miracle from God. And we have to believe in God, and we have to follow His laws and follow His Torah and do what He has commanded us to do. If we do that, then we will bring final redemption for the Jews and for the world. In any event, we are working very hard and we need your help. We need your financial help so that we can spread the word. The more you help us financially, the more people we can reach with our message. And of course, we need your help in spreading the word about JTF in general, even the English movement, because the more you spread the word, the more people know about us, the more support we get, and then the more Jews in Israel, will see the message and will see the truth. I could tell you that when our message is exposed to a large number of Jews, the more Jews receive it, a certain percentage are convinced by it. So that's why we push as hard as we can to reach as many people as we can. That's our challenge. That's what we've got to do. Our purpose in life in this world is to make this a better world. Not just to live for ourselves. We should, of course, you should live for yourself as well. You want to be healthy and happy and secure, and you certainly want to help your family and your loved ones. You have an absolute obligation to do that. But you also have an obligation to make this a better world than the one you came into. You have an obligation to do everything you can to improve things in this world. And it's that sense of idealism, Jewish idealism, that JTF stands for. That our great leader, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, he inspired us with this type of idealism, which is the idealism that God commands us to live for. Because you have a higher calling in life than just getting a paycheck or going to work every day or going to school every day or doing the other things you do in your personal life every day, which are also important. They're also important, but you have a higher calling than that. You have a purpose in life that goes beyond just that. Everybody has to do whatever they can do in order to improve the situation. That's why JTF is here, and that's the message we're trying to bring to the Jews of Israel so that we can inspire them to become what they are destined to become eventually. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.